Our memories are an amazing thing. It's amazing when they work, and it's also amazing when they don't work. I mentioned that Thursday and Friday this week we went with Debbie's brother and wife. We went up to Niagara Falls, and Debbie and I were there about 20 years ago. And as we did different things, I said, "You remember this?" She said, "No, I don't remember us doing this." And these weren't, I mean, they weren't ordinary things. They were the kind of things, unusual kind of things that you would remember. I mean, we went to that place, and some of you have probably been there, where you're able to walk through a tunnel, and you're able to stand behind the falls, and then you're able to go to a different tunnel and stand right down at the bottom of them. As Paul says, "Don't you remember doing this, walking through these tunnels, getting all wet with this water?" She said, "No, I have no memory at all of that." We went over the bridge that linked that links Canada with the state of New York, and that bridge that's there. I said, "Don't you remember last time we were here? We walked over this bridge. Don't you remember? I wanted to stay as far toward the center as I could because I don't like to get close to the edge when I'm up high." I said, "Don't you remember us doing that?" She said, "No, I have no memory of us doing that." We went to a clock, big giant clock that's in a garden there that's made out of flowers, and they've had it there for lots of years. And it was there when we were there last time. I said, "Don't you remember seeing this clock before made out of flowers?" And she said, "No, I have no memory of that." And I said, "Boy, I'm glad we weren't on our honeymoon when we were here, or I'd really be hurt." But she had no memory. And then this week, Adam and I have been talking about the Vacation Bible School. We're going to have we're trying to decide on the theme so we can get the auditorium all decorated. And I said, "You know, I don't really care what the theme is, but one thing I'd like to do, I'd like to stretch a wire from the sound room back to the choir and set up like a wall of blocks back there and have the superhero come swinging down on this wire, knock down the wall of blocks, spring up, and then teach a Bible truth every night." And he said, "Well, we already did that." I said, "Where?" He said, "We did it right here at the fellowship. Years ago." And I thought about that all week, and I thought about that all week, and I cannot remember doing that. I mean, does anybody here remember? I think you're making... No, you're making it up. No, nobody else remembers. Memory is an amazing, amazing thing. There are things I can't remember, and yet there are things that I can remember that happened years ago that I can remember just like they happened today. I would say I can remember just like they happened yesterday, but there's a lot of things that happened yesterday I don't remember. But just like they happened today, I can remember, for example, going to the ball game for the first time with my dad. I mean, just like it was today. I can remember the smells. I can remember the sights. I can remember who the Tigers were playing. I can remember going to the bathroom trying to get warm because it was so cold. But I mean, I can remember things like that. I can remember my first kiss. I remember exactly where I was. I can remember who it was. It was Debbie. And I can remember where we were. I can remember saying "I do" at the wedding altar. I mean, I can remember what was going through my mind as I said it. There's a lot of things that I can remember in very much detail, and then there are other things, if Adam's really telling me the truth, that I have no recollection of at all. Doctors tell us that memories are really electronic impulses that are recorded on our brain. And sometimes, like for example, when you get a bump on the head, your memory will be affected. There's a thing called amnesia, that sometimes when you get a bump on the head or a jar to the head, you'll have amnesia where you can't remember. Can't even remember who you are. Sometimes it's temporary. Sometimes it lasts a long time. But memories not only amazing, but memories can be powerful. I mean, you can recall something, bring something to your mind, and it can cause you to either smile and be happy and be filled with past joys, or it can cause you to be sad and cause a tear to come to your eye as you remember past sorrows. It can cause powerful emotions when you can remember something. You remember what the thief on the cross pleaded with Jesus. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, hey, you don't have to worry about me remembering you because you're going to be there. He said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. And the rich man in hell, the parable that Jesus told. And when the rich man died and went to hell, and he was pleading for Lazarus to come and dip his finger in water and touch his tongue. And Abraham said, as Jesus told the story, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Yeah, Jesus was saying in that parable to that rich man that was in hell, hey, just remember, you had all the good things in life. Lazarus didn't have many good things in life. He laid at your gate begging for a piece of bread, and the dogs came and licked his sores. You remember that, and remember all the opportunities you had to receive Christ and the times that you rejected him. And that's going to be one of the worst parts about hell, is everybody that's there will remember the times, many times, they heard the gospel and they rejected Christ. The advice of the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes was this: remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. A charge to young people. Don't wait till you get old. Don't wait till you get middle age. Start serving Christ now. Live for God now while you're young. And so a large part of our lives are dependent on us being able to remember what's stored away in our computer banks. You know, it's always frustrating when, if you that have computers and work on computers, when you put something in there and then something goes awry with your memory banks and you can't find it. I mean, you go to all the work to put it in there and then somehow it disappears. And I think that's how we as parents feel when we spend thousands of dollars to send our kids to college and they get all that stuff stored in their brains and then they graduate and seem like they forget it all. And we wonder what has happened to their memory banks. And isn't it sad when a person through sickness or when their brain starts to wear out can't remember how to do things? Can't remember people, can't remember past events. This morning I want to preach a sermon entitled, Four Things to Remember. Four Things to Remember. And as I mentioned a few moments ago, I'm going to give you 3 points this morning and 1 point tonight. And so everybody can come back tonight because the message tonight is going to be 1/3 as long as it is this morning. Okay? I'm going to preach for an hour this morning. I'm only going to preach for 20 minutes. No, I'm just kidding you. But it'll be one. I only got 4 points. Don't look so worried. We'll get out our normal time. But 3 points this morning, 1 tonight, 4 things to remember. And as the title implies, this is a simple message. I'm going to mention 4 things to you today over the course of the 2 messages this morning and tonight. 4 things that every single one of us ought to remember. 4 things that we ought to go over in our mind and think about every day and cause ourselves to remember. You know, you can improve your memory. You memorize Bible verses by going over them often and saying them and looking at them and quoting them to somebody. You can improve your memorization of Bible verses by just remembering the words. In the same way, you can remember things by thinking about them often. And so this morning, I want to mention 3 things that I think you ought to spend some time every day thinking about and remembering. Number one, we ought to remember what God has done for us. Every day, we ought to spend some time, and we ought to remember the things that God has done for us. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, the Bible says this, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you." Samuel was talking to the nation of Israel, and he was preaching a similar kind of message. He says, now look, I want you to consider, or I want you to remember the great things that God has done for you. If you'll do that, it will cause you to hold God in awe. That's what that word fear means. Respect him. And it will cause you to serve God with all your heart. I mean, the nation of Israel, we know from reading the Old Testament, was a nation that was up and down with their God. For a period of time, they served him and loved him. For a period of time, they turned their back on him and worshiped idols. And at this point in time, they'd come to Samuel, and they wanted a king. And Samuel said, "You don't need a king. God's your king. Just serve him." So, no, and the people said, "No, we want to be like everybody else. We want a king." And God gave them a king. But as God was giving them a king, Samuel said, "Now look, you need to remember, even though God's going to give you a king, you need to remember what God has done for you." And God did a great work for the nation of Israel. I mean, just think about the things that we know about from reading their history as recorded in this book. They were slaves in the nation of Egypt. And God, in a mighty way, sent Moses and worked the miracles in that land of Egypt to free them from their slavery. 430 years they were slaves. When Moses came, the people that were alive didn't know what freedom was. But Moses came in and with the staff of God in his hand and with the power of God on his life, he worked miracle after miracle to get God's people freed from the nation of Israel. When they came out, they came to the Red Sea. And we know the miracle that God worked there for them as he dried a path through the Red Sea. And then as the Egyptians followed them in, as he drowned them. And Samuel was saying, remember that. Remember how God brought you out of Egypt. Remember how he led you through the Red Sea. Remember as he led you in the wilderness, how every day he fed you with manna from heaven. And every day he gave you water to drink from the rock. And remember how he led you to the promised land, that land that flowed with milk and honey. And you had victory after victory as you moved into that land to conquer it with God at your side. You lived in cities that you didn't build. You ate from orchards that you didn't plant. You drank from wells that you didn't dig. And God blessed his people over and over and over again. And yet the nation of Israel, they forgot God. They kept turning away from him. They set up idols and worshiped idols. They forgot his laws and they disobeyed God and they turned to other gods. In Psalm 106, the psalmist records it. They soon forgot his works. Isn't that a sad statement? They soon forgot his works. We look back on that people and we say, how could that be? How could they forget being led to freedom? How could they forget walking through the Red Sea? How could they forget being fed every day with bread from heaven and water from the rock? How could they forget how God blessed them and gave them a land to live in and all the richness of the land of Canaan? But the psalmist said, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And what Samuel and the psalmist is saying to us, as they say it to the nation of Israel, is, don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget it. I mean, these people were no different from us. I mean, I'm sure they got tied up in the busyness of their lives. They got tied up in the routine of their lives. I don't think they set out consciously to say, I'm going to forget God. I don't think they did it intentionally and they said, I'm just going to forget all the things that God has done for us as a people, that God has done for us as a nation. They didn't do it on purpose. They did it because they forgot to think about what God did for them every day. And pretty soon they forgot and they turned away from God. And so this morning I add my voice to the voice of Samuel and to the psalmist and encourage you, don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget. Think about some every day. Spend a few moments every day remembering what God has done for you. Let me give you some thought starters. He made you. He made you. You say, oh no, I was born. Yeah, you were born. He used your mom and dad. But God made you. You're an individual this morning. You have the characteristics you have this morning as an individual because God willed you into existence. He made you. He had you be born in the United States of America. You live in the greatest nation on earth. We're getting ready to celebrate the 4th of July and Independence Day. And I can unreservedly say that we live in the greatest nation on earth. Are we perfect? No. There's a lot of things that ought to be different in our country. But you go to any other nation on the face of the earth and you won't find a nation like the United States of America. And you ought to thank God every day that He made you and that He lets you live in this place. A place where, for most of us here this morning, we heard the gospel and got saved. A place where, for most of us that are here this morning, know that our sins are forgiven, that we're on our way to heaven, that we're a child of God because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. I like the offertory that Chris played a moment ago. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. That's what happened when we got saved. Heaven came down. Jesus came down and glory filled our soul. And we ought to think every day about our salvation. We ought to think every day the wonderful thing that God did for us when He sent Jesus to die for us on Calvary. I mean, He was born of a virgin. He lived on earth for 33 years. He was perfect, not one sin. And yet He went to Calvary's cross and took all of our sins upon Him so that our sin debt to God could be paid. Now, we ought to think about that. We ought not to take it for granted. God did something wonderful for us when He did that. And we ought to think about, boy, that is the glory of heaven. The glory of heaven coming down. And that ought to thrill our soul when we think about it. We were lost, headed for hell with no hope. We were sinking deep in our sins with nobody to help us. We couldn't help ourselves. There's nothing that you can do to save yourself, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. But God did everything that needed to be done to make us right with Him. And if we accept Christ as our Savior, we can stand before our Creator God justified, just as if we've never sinned. And you may have been saved for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years, or maybe you've just been saved for a few weeks. But when you hear about what God has done for you, and when you think about what God has done for you, it ought to send a thrill. It ought to be some excitement in your soul. You ought to get excited about it once every once in a while and remember what it cost God to get us to heaven. And don't take it for granted. Never let it fall to the back part of your mind. Never go days without thinking about it. Remember what God did for you when He paid the price for your sin and gave you a home in heaven. But it doesn't stop there. Every good thing in your life is a gift from God. Everything. You're married this morning. Your spouse is a gift from God. Your spouse is a gift from God. You may have had a little spat before church this morning. Maybe had a little disagreement this week. But your spouse is a gift from God. Your children are a gift from God. Your grandchildren are a gift from God. Your great-grandchildren are a gift from God. I mean, every good thing. Now look. And as we think about these things, we need to make sure that we give God the glory. If you're glad you're married today, you need to thank God because He's the one that gave you your husband or your wife. If you have children this morning, you need to thank God for them because they're a gift from God. If you have grandchildren or great-grandchildren this morning, you need to thank God for them. Hey, look, if you've got a mom and dad this morning, you need to thank God for them because they're a gift from Him. Every good thing that we have in our life is a blessing from God. The health that we have is a gift from God. You say, oh, Brother Darrell, you don't, that may be true for some people, but I don't feel good. Haven't felt good for a long time, or I've got cancer or some other sickness. Well, come with me this afternoon and I'll show you somebody that's got it worse than you do. Where you can look at that other person and say, thank God for the health that I have. I might not be 100% healthy, but I'm a whole lot better than that person. I'm a whole lot better than that person. Thank God for my health. The house that you live in is a gift from God. The car that you drive is a gift from God. The food that's on your table, that will sit on your table today, that you'll eat and enjoy, is a gift from God. The clothes on your back are a gift from God. The Bible says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father. Every good thing in your life is a gift from God. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, don't forget what God's done for you. Don't forget what God has done for you. Every good thing in your life is a gift from Him. And how often we forget it. How often we take it for granted. How often we go days at a time not remembering what God's done for us. I could go around this room and just a little bit that I know about some of you. Some of you have just some wonderful things to be grateful to God about. Just some wonderful things. I'm not talking about all this stuff that you can mention in general, but there's some specific things in your life where God has worked, where you ought to say, praise God, He's such a good God, I'm not going to forget what He's done for me. I'm going to remember it. I'm going to schedule a time every day where I take a few minutes and I think about what God has done for me. I'm going to remember it and I'm going to praise Him for it. That's how you remember it. If you go days without thinking about it, if you go days without giving God credit for it, yeah, you'll forget. But if you schedule a time and you make a time and you say, hey, I'm going to take the next few minutes and I'm going to just list the things that God has done for me. Start with your salvation. And then start listing the list. Just write it down. I mean, write it down. If you have a tough time remembering it from day to day, write it down. So you can pull out your list every day and say, boy, God did that for me, and God did this for me, and God did this for me. And add to it. Add to it. And remember what God has done for you. Number two, remember God's word. In Psalm 119, the Bible says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. In Psalm 138, verse 2, the Bible says, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God's given us a book. It's called the Bible. It not only tells us how much He loves us, not only tells us what He's done for us, but He's also told us in this book how to live and how to get the most out of life. Now, I don't know about you, but when I have something, I want to enjoy it for all it's worth. I want to use it for all it's worth. If I go to a smorgasbord, a buffet, I'm the kind of person who wants to just eat until I'm stuffed and can't hold anymore. We took Debbie's brother and sister-in-law up to Frankenmuth on Wednesday. And we just ate chicken and all the others. We just ate. He's like me. He's natured like me. He takes after his dad. He wants to get his money's worth when he goes to a smorgasbord. And we got done. There were the bones of about 4.5 chickens laying in our two plates. I mean, that's the kind of person I am. I want to, if I pay for a smorgasbord, I want to just eat until I'm stuffed. If I buy a car, I'm the kind of person that just want to drive it until the wheels fall off. Now, I'm not talking about Fords this morning, okay? I'm talking about GM cars. What I mean by that's not a commercial. I was just seeing if you were listening. But when I was buying cars, I want to drive that car until it gets so old that it just won't run. I want to get my money's worth out of that car. And when I buy a contraption, I'm just using a phone for an example. I mean, if it's got voicemail, I want to know how to use voicemail. If it's got automatic messages, if it's got function buttons that you can push to do certain things, I want to know how to do all of that so I can use it. I want to enjoy everything that there is to enjoy, and I don't want to have something and not enjoy it to its fullest. That's why if there's banana pudding and chocolate cake and cheesecake at the dessert bar, I take a piece of all of it. I want to enjoy it all. I have the same attitude toward life. You see, Jesus said, I have come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. And there's too many of us as Christians that we have the eternal life, but we don't have the abundant life. And we don't have the abundant life because we don't spend enough time in this book that tells us how to have that abundant life. You won't find how to have the abundant life on your own. You won't find it by reading a help book that's written by some other man. The only way that you find how to have the abundant life is get in this book that was written by the one that made you, to get in this book that's our sort of our owner's manual that was written by the one that created us, to get in the Bible and find out how God wants us to live and to have that abundant life that Jesus talks about. And the only way that I can do that is to remember this book. I hold up this book often and I tell you, this is God's word. It's true, every word from cover to cover. It tells us how he loves us. It tells us what he's done for us. But it also tells us how to live. And we ought to study it. We ought to remember it. We ought to memorize it. Every day of our life, we ought to spend some time in this book. Psalm 119, verse 164. I mentioned it in Sunday school this morning. The psalmist said, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. 7 times a day. A lot of people think Ezra wrote Psalm 119. And 7 times a day, he says, I praise God for his righteous judgments, this book. I praise God for the Bible. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if every Christian, 7 times a day, every day, 7 times a day, paused and said, Lord, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the Bible. And maybe remembered a verse that was in the Bible that you'd memorized. So remember what God's done for us. Remember God's word. And then number 3, remember what others have done for you. In Proverbs 27, verse 10, the Bible says, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. And what Solomon was saying was, don't forget what other people have done for you. Don't forget what your friends and don't forget what your father's friends have done for you. Remember the good things they've done for you and the blessings that they have been to you. A couple weeks ago, I was talking to a lady in our church, and she was telling me about a dear friend that she has. And she just started to list all the good things that that friend has done for her in the past 6 or 7 months. Just started listening. And I thought to myself, that's good. That's good. We ought to remember what other people have done for us. Debbie's brother was here for a couple days, and when we were courting, when Debbie and I were courting, his house was our meeting place. I've eaten hundreds of meals at his table. He chaperoned us many, many, many times. I told him this week, this is the first time I've had an opportunity to really visit with him and sit down with him. And I told him this week, I said, Dan, I've never told you this before, but I want to tell you something. I really appreciated you when Debbie and I were going together and we were dating for the way that you opened up your home and you let us come into the home. And they dated with us. We had good times together. And I said, I think about that often, and I just wanted to say thank you for that. While we were driving up to Canada, we were talking about the fire and the fact that our house burned down. And I had the opportunity, and I spent about an hour doing it. I said, you just wouldn't believe how good people were to us in that time. And I mentioned the people that came over to the house the first night that it burned down. I just spent an hour just recounting for him all the nice things that people did for us. And that's the way we ought to be. We ought not to forget the good things that other people do for us. And by the way, as we remember that, we ought to express our gratitude. Say, well, I already said thank you for that. You know, you can say thank you again. As that memory comes to mind, as you think about it, you can have an attitude of gratitude. It doesn't have to be just when the act is done. That gratitude can carry over. Now, our memories, to a large part, are determined by us. If something happens and we don't think about it for a while, more than likely we're liable to forget it. But if we keep calling it back to mind, if we keep thinking about it, more than likely we'll remember. And so this morning, I want to encourage you. Remember what God's done for you. Put a time in your schedule where you just sit down during the day. Start with once a week. And just say, God, I thank you for all the things you've done in my life. And list them. It's sort of like the same way, you know, when that verse in 1 John 1:9 where it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And a lot of us read that verse and say, and get to the end of the day and we say, Jesus, I confess all my sins. Forgive me. That's not what that verse is talking about. What that verse wants you to do is name your sins one by one and confess them specifically to God and ask his forgiveness for those specific sins. And it's the same way when we think about all the good things that God's done for us. We sing the song, Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. That's how you remember what God's done for you. You name them one by one. So remember what God's done for you. Remember this book. You want to have abundant life? Then remember this book. That's the kind of life Jesus wants. And isn't it a shame that most Christians, they have life, but they don't have the abundant life? Because they forget this book. And then you need to remember what others have done for you. There's not a person in this room this morning that can't look at another person or many other people and say, that person's been a blessing in my life. And we need to remember that. Now tonight I'm going to add one more point to this list of three. And so I want you to be back tonight. But let's remember. Let's remember. Hey, that's why we have the Lord's Supper, so that we can remember what Jesus did for us on Calvary. That's why we have testimonies on Wednesday night and Sunday night, so that we can remember what God and other people have done for us. So remember, remember. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this reminder from your book. And I pray this morning that we would be a people that would have a good memory of what you've done for us and of the Bible and what other people have done for us as well. And then, Father, I pray for those that might be here this morning that don't know Christ as their Savior. You did something wonderful for us when Christ went to the cross to die and pay for our sins. And I think the majority of people here this morning, by their testimony, know what it is to have their sins forgiven, know what it is to be your child, know what it is to have a future in heaven. But there may be one or two people here this morning that don't know that. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you've been speaking to that one. You've convicted them and showed them their sin, and they would understand from even the things that we've said this morning that sin has to be paid for, and Jesus is the only one that can pay for it. And so I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you deal with that person and that person right now where they sit would realize that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And they'd receive him and depend on him to make them right with God. And for the Christians that are here, Holy Spirit, you speak to us if there's something that you want us to do. Maybe there's something that we haven't thought about for a while that you want us to remember this morning. I just pray that you bring it back to our mind and we spend some time thinking about it, praising God for it, and thanking him for it. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen.